Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And thank you, Father, for anointing this teaching, and bless your people. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to talk to you today about the blessings of the fear of God. Ooh-wee. Psalm 111 and 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." Amen. You know, the fear of the Lord is a teaching that's all over the Bible. We all need a proper reverence and awe of God, which is the beginning of true knowledge and wisdom. And without a proper respect for God's word, we won't gain true knowledge or wisdom. And when we have a holy fear of God, we get understanding, contentment, confidence, blessings, and a desire to walk in obedience to Him. It causes us to desire a right relationship with God. The fear of the Lord is not about being paralyzed by terror. It's about a deep respect and submission to the Almighty God, who is holy, righteous, merciful, but is also the author of all chastening for His children. And we also need to know that the wrath of God comes to those who continue in sin and rebellion against Him. The prophets of old show us to have a deep, humble respect for God and His words. His judgment upon willful sin and His wrath on the wicked in this world should humble us to His will. And knowing of His sovereignty in all things helps us to read the signs of His opinion of men's works. Having a holy fear of the Lord will cause us to stay within His boundaries and make good choices. So let's look at some scriptures to help us get a better understanding of the fear of the Lord and what it means. When I began my study of the sovereignty of God, I gained an understanding and then experience of His sovereignty, which has borne much fruit in my life in the area of rest and peace and faith and respect for Him. It has sharpened my fear of God and removed my fear of man's conspiracies by the devil. It has given me a strong sense of the awesomeness of God. And others have shared similar stories with me. It says in Daniel 4 and 35, "And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, What doest thou?" Nobody can push God's hand away and say, "What are you doing?" Nobody can stop Him from doing what He wants to do. This should give us faith, rest, and the fear of God. It's important to God that we know He is sovereign. Without this knowledge, we will not have that peace, the rest, and the fear of God that we need in the midst of trials. We will always be wrestling with people and circumstances and trusting in our own strength instead of seeing God's hand in it and trusting in His strength. Isaiah 43 and 13 says, "Yea, since the day was, I am He, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who can hinder it?" Exactly so. We are in God's hand. Many have deceptive doctrines that appease their selfish desires, such as doctrines of materialistic prosperity rather than bearing our cross. Unconditional eternal security so that they may live after the flesh without fear of God's warnings. Rapture without sanctification through trial. Eternal life without discipleship and holiness. And on and on and on, right? God's people have justified just about anything to appease their flesh, such as unscriptural divorces, abortion, drunkenness, drugs, lying, stealing, etc. And peace for the flesh is deception. You can't rejuvenate the flesh. It has to die, right? Satan and his ministers are anxious to tell us what our flesh wants to hear. You know, we're told in 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So, God would not tell us to do something that we cannot do by faith in Him, right? He wants us to be sanctified in truth. A testimony about the fear of the Lord from Anonymous. A few months ago, I was looking around online for some books by Watchman Nee, and I ran across your website. Being brought up by what I now know to be the apostate church, when I saw America's Last Days, that's something you don't want to hear about because it is never taught. I entered the site sovereignly and began looking at the Sovereign God book. I read one line that changed my life and my doctrine, and everything I had been taught, that God is in control of the evil as well as the good. And I thought some things just happened, and the devil did some things, and so on and so forth. But, no. Right then, the fear of God came on me and has not left. And although I have been saved for several years, I never knew what the fear of God was until I experienced it that day. Once saved, always saved, right? Wrong. I knew then that if God had not intervened, I might be in for a surprise should I have died in that state. God has something better for me. I walk more cautiously before the Lord and want to obey Him. I've seen what he can do. Fear of man and fear of Satan are out of the question compared to what God can do. Thanks for submitting to God and allowing the word of knowledge and wisdom to flow through you. Revelations are keys, and he's given us the keys of David, right, to unlock the treasures of God. The name of the Lord is to be feared. When Moses asked God to see his glory in Exodus 33:18-23, and he said, show me, I pray thee, thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for man shall not see me and live. That's a good thing, you know. The old man dies when you see the Lord, right? And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon the rock. That's Jesus, right? The Word. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand until I have passed by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back, but my face shall not be seen. In Exodus 34:5-7, And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him, that is Moses, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness and truth, keeping loving kindness for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the children's children, and upon the third and upon the fourth generation, meaning the sins of the fathers are inherited through the blood and associated by the children. Okay, Deuteronomy 10 and 17. For God, your God, he is God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great God, the mighty, the terrible, who regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. Psalm 47 and 2. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. Psalm 99 and 3. Let them praise thy great and terrible name. Holy is he. Psalm 66, 3 through 5. Say unto God, how terrible are thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee, and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing towards the children of men. Psalm 86 and 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Psalm 102 and 15. So the nations shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. They saw what God did for Israel at the Red Sea, and it put fear in them. Isaiah 59 and 19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, for he will come as a rushing stream, which the breath of the Lord driveth. 1 Kings 8:41-43. Moreover, concerning the foreigner that is not of thy people Israel, when he shall come out of a far country for thy name's sake, for they shall hear of thy great name, and of thy mighty hand, and of thine outstretched arm, when he shall come and pray towards this house, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the foreigner calleth to thee for, that all the peoples of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee, as doth thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. Luke 1:49-50, it says, For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is unto generations and generations of them that fear him. Deuteronomy 7:21, Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, a great God and a terrible. We need to learn the fear of God so that we do not sin against him. And it says in Exodus 20:19-20, And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before you, that you sin not. Amen. Read the Word of God. It'll put that fear in you. God gave his people the commandments and the law, and he showed the curse of breaking the law so that they would fear him. In Deuteronomy 31 and 11, it says, "When all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people, the men and the women and the little ones, and thy sojourner that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. And that their children who have not known may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land whither you go over the Jordan to possess it." Deuteronomy 6, 1 and 2, it says, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the ordinances, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go over to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged." So the fear of the Lord's commandments prolongs life and prosperity, doesn't it? Deuteronomy 6 and 13. "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and him shalt thou serve, and shalt swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the peoples that are round about you, for the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and he destroy thee from off the face of the earth." Well, the other gods, we are told, are demons, and they rule over the lusts of the flesh. Those who fear God will not follow their lusts. Psalm 119, 9 through 11. "Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Proverbs 2:1-8. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and lay up my commandments with thee, so as to incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou cry after discernment and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seek her as silver, and search for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to them that walk in integrity, that he may guard the paths of justice, and preserve the way of his saints." So, seeking wisdom and understanding brings the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1 and 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but the foolish despise wisdom and instruction." Psalm 2:11, "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." Psalm 33:8, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." Psalm 34:11, "Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Psalm 66:16, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. In 19:9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Psalm 96:9, O worship the Lord in holy array. Tremble before him all the earth. Psalm 99:1, the Lord reigneth. Let the peoples tremble. He sitteth above the cherubim. Let the earth be moved. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way. And the perverse mouth do I hate. Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Proverbs 1:24-30, because I have called and you have refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regardeth. But you have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh in the day of your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a storm, and your calamity cometh on as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then will they call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Well, one of the proofs of this, of course, is that people seek knowledge and wisdom and entertainment and everything but read the Bible to find out what the fear of the Lord is. Proverbs 23:17, let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Job 1:1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and turned away from evil. And 8-9, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? For there is none like him in the earth, a perfect an upright man, one that feareth God and turneth away from evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Scriptural humility is to humble ourselves to the word and the will of God. Do you want to be honored of the Lord, the angels, and man? Humility needs to come first before we can receive the blessings of God, all those great promises that we're believing him for. Proverbs 15:33 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor goeth humility. That means humbling yourself to God and his will. And Proverbs 22:4 says, the reward of humility and the fear of the Lord is riches, honor, and life. How many people have lost their lives, spiritual or physical, or both, because they didn't humble themselves to God's word? Isaiah 66:2 says, for all these things hath my hand made, and so all these things came to be, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and is of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. Ephesians 5:15, look therefore carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, we are told his will is to walk in sanctification. And be not drunken with wine, wherein is riot, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, subjecting yourselves one to another in the fear of Christ. In other words, humility towards one another, right? Blessings come with the fear of God. Isaiah 33:6, and there shall be stability in thy times, abundance of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is thy treasure. Psalm 25:12, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he instruct in the way that he shall choose. Psalm 31:19-20. O, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that take refuge in thee, before the sons of men. In the covert of thy presence wilt thou hide them from the plottings of man. Thou wilt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. There is much revelation going forth today about all the evil things that the wicked have done to try to destroy us, poisoning our food and air and water and so on, all these things. God says he'll take care of that if you just fear him. Psalm 34:9, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Psalm 85:9, surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Ooh, good promises. Psalm 103:11, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards them that fear him. Amen. Loving kindness, his mercy, his grace towards those that fear him. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his precepts to do them. Psalm 112:1-3. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. The wealth and the riches are in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Psalm 115:9-13. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust ye in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel, and he will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear him, right? The Lord, both small and great. Psalm 128:1-6. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine in the innermost parts of thy house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord bless thee out of Zion, and see thou the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, see thou thy children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Psalm 145, 18 through 20. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. But the Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. Psalm 147 and 11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his loving kindness. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Proverbs 3:7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones, which is where your life comes from, right? Proverbs 14:26-27. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. In other words, you can have faith if you fear the Lord. And his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may depart from the snares of death. You can escape death, right? Malachi 3:16-18. Then they that feared the Lord spake one with another, and the Lord hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, even mine own possession in the day that I make. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Ecclesiastes 8:12 says, though a sinner do evil 100 times and prolong his days, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, that fear before him. This is the end of the matter. All hath been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Well, God's judgment and wrath is shown. Throughout the scriptures, God gathereth the nations against his people when they were in apostasy. And it was for the purpose of bringing a crucifixion and a death to the old man. God is in absolute control. There's nothing left to chance down here concerning his children. We know the judgments that are coming upon the world will restore the fear of the Lord, and many will depart from evil. They will run to Zion, which is a place of safety. But Zion is a place of holiness, too, a place of separation from the world, right? And when the man-child comes as the white horse rider in Revelation 6, he will come with the latter rain, anointing, and the judgments of God. So we see Jesus in the man-child in Isaiah 11, 2 and 3. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither decide after the hearing of his ears. Isaiah 50 and 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? He that walketh in darkness and hath no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Haggai 1:12 and 13. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God has sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. Isaiah 8 and 13. The Lord of hosts, him shall you sanctify, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. Yes, Jeremiah 5, 21 through 26. Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, that have eyes and see not, and that have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence, who have placed the sands for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, Let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in its season, that preserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They watch as fowlers lie in wait. They set a trap, and they catch men. Yes, they do. Psalm 119, 120. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee. I am afraid of thy judgments. Jeremiah 10 and 10. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth trembleth, and the nations are not able to abide his indignation. Micah 7 and 17 says, They shall lick the dust like a serpent, like crawling things of the earth. They shall come trembling out of their close places. They shall come with the fear unto the Lord our God, and shall be afraid because of thee. Malachi 1 and 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is mine honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests, that despise my name? And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? For I, Lord, change not, therefore ye, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. He changes not. He'll do what he says in his word. Psalm 76 and 6. At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both chariot and horse are cast down into a deep sleep. Thou, even thou, art to be feared. And who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? Thou didst cause sentence to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still. And when God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth, Selah. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The residue of wrath shalt thou gird upon thee. Vow and pay unto the Lord your God. Let all that are round about him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. He will cut off the spirit of princes. He is terrible to the kings of the earth. Matthew 10 and 28. And be not afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hebrews 10 and 30. For we know him that said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Daniel 6 and 26. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. In his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Hebrews 12 and 28. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Paul's instruction to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5 and 20, he said, them that sin reprove in the sight of all, that the rest also may be in fear. And our example of how fear came on everyone in Acts 5 and 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, did it not remain thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy power? How is it that thou hast conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Acts 5 and 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon all that heard it. And the young men arose and wrapped him round, and they carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. But Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to try the Spirit of the Lord. Behold, the feet of them that have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out. And she fell down immediately at his feet and gave up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all that heard these things. Because obviously people have done far worse things than what was told about here. And people surely think about that, right? Romans 13, 1 through 4 says, "Let every soul be in subjection to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Therefore, he that resisteth the power withstandeth the ordinance of God, and they that withstand shall receive to themselves judgment." So that's a promise too. For rulers are not a terror to the good work, but to the evil. And wouldest thou have no fear of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise from the same. For he is a minister of God unto thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, an avenger for wrath to him that doeth evil. 1 Peter 2 and 17. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Romans 1 and 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hinder the truth in unrighteousness. Romans 12 and 19, avenge not yourselves, beloved, but give place unto the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. Revelation 6, 15 through 17, and the kings of the earth, and the princes, and the chief captains, and the rich, and the strong, and every bondman and freeman, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. And they say to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath is come, and who is able to stand? Revelation 14, 6 and 7. And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having eternal good tidings to proclaim unto them that dwell on the earth, and unto every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he saith with a great voice, fear God, and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Of course, we should pay attention to this. We can see the wrath of God falling all around the world, right? You want to escape it? He tells you how. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, right? Revelation 14 and 10, he also shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is prepared unmixed in the cup of his anger. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the angels cast his sickle into the earth and gathered the vintage of the earth and cast it into the winepress, the great winepress of the wrath of God. Revelation 15 and 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having seven plagues, which are the last. For in them is finished the wrath of God. And one of the four living creatures gave unto the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God, who liveth for ever and ever. And of course they poured them out. Revelation 16:1, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go ye and pour out the seven bowls of the wrath of God into the earth. Revelation 19:15, and out of his mouth proceedeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God the Almighty. And of course, this is the Lord, and it shall be done. Here's a word we called truth poured forth from my anointed, and it is bringing the dead to life. Amen. Debbie Finsky. I want to share a word Jesus shared with me early this morning as I was sitting before him praying and just waiting on him. I heard him speak a couple of thoughts to me, and after writing down the second thought, Jesus just kept speaking this encouraging word. Many, so many, who have, in the past, been a part of UVM are beginning now to understand the evil and the dangers of faction. The truth that they are receiving from me is instilling a holy fear within them. This is why I rise up in David, my servant, moving within him to keep talking and warning about this. It has been imperative for him to do so, for faction is a disease killing many. So many who have not understood this are now finally listening and repenting, and many will return to my ministry of UBM to receive truth once again. For they are aware of the great deadness of their spiritual womb. My truth and a holy fear of me will produce life in them once again. My servant David must not stop speaking about these things, for I will have my way, which is revealing to all I have chosen, the true condition of their hearts. My truth will break out again like a wildfire through the mouth of my servant, for my anointing will not leave him, and my anointed chosen will soon be revealed, and many, many blind eyes will be opened, and the deaf ears will hear, hearts will be healed, and they will rush under the presence of my anointing, and will grow, and will with much joy and spiritual vigor produce much fruit which will come forth from my life within them. My provision in every way will flow once again. Press in, and I will give abundant blessings. Receive them now as you press into me, that I may make them manifest to you. For my spirit is moving, stirring hearts to come back to me and my anointing. They are coming back to the truth. Trust me, and wait on me, and you will see. Soon, the outpouring of my spirit and my great supply of provision for my people, as the unleavened bread continues to go forth from my anointed, and spoken forth from all who have received and believe and are walking in the unleavened walk. The time is set for my life, received to pour forth from you a flowing stream of life. Remain faithful, humble, and pure. I have not and will not fail of any of my good promises to my unleavened bread ministry. Before I got on the Zoom meeting this morning, I prayed that God would somehow, some way, confirm this word. And I believe that he did that through some verses that were shared this morning. Deb Horton's scripture that she shared was Jeremiah 32:6-15. Confirming verse is the second part of verse 8. And then I knew that this was the word of the Lord, quote unquote. I also felt confirmation and received in verse 15 of her scripture verses, quote, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards will again be bought in this land, unquote. True. Shay shared Philippians 4:19-23. Verses 19-20. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father, glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord, all glory belongs to you. Thank you, faithful Father, for delivering and rescuing those who you will from the evil faction, and opening the eyes of those who just could not see to receive the awful truth about faction, and so gave up and set aside your truth. Thank you for your blessings now, and those you are about to abundantly bestow upon UBM, and for your faithfulness to all over the world who are faithful to you in giving out the unleavened truth of your word. Amen. Well, so true. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the gift of the fear of the Lord and its mighty blessings upon our lives. Thank you. We receive it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.